with you. I feel like I'm meeting up with old friends. I don't mean old as in age, just as in that we've met each other a number of times before. So it's really good to be able to come and share with you. And as I do so, I bring greetings on behalf of all of South Wales Baptist Association. And you might get to see a picture. Hopefully you recognise me, but others in the team, Rob, my colleague, who has been here for one of the away days that we held, Kath Needham, who's our safeguarding lead, and Karen, who is our administrator. If you ever ring up the association, you're likely to speak to Karen. She's amazing and wonderful and knows just about everything there is to know. So I bring you greetings on behalf of our team. But last Sunday, I was at Bethel Baptist Church in Hawthorne near Pontypridd. And also this week, I was doing a midweek service at Tredegarville Baptist Church. And I asked them if I could send their greetings to you. And both of them said yes, please. And so hopefully you can see a picture of them waving at you. That's waving their greetings specifically to you today. Next Sunday, I'm at St. David's Uniting Church in Pontypridd. And I wonder, could I take your greetings to them? Would it be okay if I take a picture of you as well? Is that all right? I'm just going to nip up on here to do that. And maybe if you could give me a wave, that would be brilliant. And then... Ruth and it's just coming in, so I'll just hold on a second. Hold on to your waves. Here you go. Fantastic. Thank you very much. So I'll be taking your greetings to them next week. And it's great to be part of a Baptist family where we recognise that there are many people throughout South Wales worshipping God, just as we are today at this time. So it's really good to be able to do that. Does anyone recognise this programme? Yeah. As we come today, I want to show a short clip from Only Fools and Horses. And this is an episode from 1992. Del has bought his council flat, or is in the process of buying it, but is struggling to pay the mortgage. And so, as often happens in these things, he has to come up with a money-making scheme. And he meets somebody called Miles, who is really into health food. And he's just inherited his granddad's allotment. And so he comes up with this idea of, he's running water from a tap, but to make it look like it's a spring. So we're going to watch a little bit about what happens in that.
Oh, that's just the old Peckham spring. Ah, Rodney, there you are. Go and get Miles' soil testing kit for his car, will you?
No, wait a minute. The Peckham spring? Well, I never realised there was a spring in Peckham.
Oh, yes. That's why it's called the Peckham spring.
And I must emphasise the word if. If this water passes our laboratory tests, there is a strong possibility that we could actually bottle it.
Sorry, Miles, what do you mean by bottle it?
It means put it into bottles. I don't expect for one moment someone like you to understand the potential of this water, so I'll explain it in simple terms. You have the source, i.e. the Peckham Spring. I have the means of selling it through my natural food stores. And if successful, we could even expand to supermarkets and other outlets.
Let me see if I've got this straight, Mars. What you're saying is that we could bottle this water and then sell it?
Well, George, I think he's got it. It's a miracle.
Yeah. Certainly is a miracle, Rodney. It's our dear mum. She's up there smiling down on us, making sure her two little lads don't starve.
No, I mean, I think it's a miracle that we've been doing this for 3 weeks now and we're not banged up in Nick.
And so there they are. They are just taking water from the tap, bottling it and selling it. And in fact, it turns out to be very popular. There's a water shortage. And so they sell it and they make enough money not only to pay their mortgage, but also to have a holiday as well. From streams of water comes wealth for them. Well, Jesus is talking about, not surprisingly, something a little bit different to that. Oh, move to that. He says this, let anyone who is thirsty, come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And as I came to look at this passage and recognising that it's Pentecost, where John goes on to explain to us that he's referring to the Spirit. So it's the Spirit within us that gives us the living water, the riches for life. And I was just thinking, what we want to be looking for in our lives is the riches that come from the Holy Spirit within us, and not to be satisfied with false things, the equivalent of the Peckham spring, that don't give us the life that Jesus has come to bring us. So we're going to look at that, and as we do so, there'll be a little bit revealed about who Jesus is, because John's gospel is really about revealing who Jesus is. And as they are here at the Feast of Tabernacles, where this passage is set, that's the question running through people's minds. Who is Jesus? Now, the Feast of Tabernacles, just to give you a little bit of background, was one of three festivals that Jewish men were expected to travel to Jerusalem for. It took place around September, October time, and it was to celebrate the gathering in of the harvest. And as harvest is gathered in, they would build temporary shelters to protect the crops. And that would remind them, the temporary shelters, of that time that they had been in the wilderness as the people of Israel, and the temporary shelters that they had then. And so they would remember God's provision for them, shown in harvest, but also shown in the past as God led them. And so they had various festivals within this time, various ceremonies to help them remind them of this. And they had a water festival. Actually, let me just say this. So what we're going to talk about within this, within the water, just to tell you where we're going before I actually get into where we're going. How thirsty are we is the question that I want to ask today. For the living water that Jesus gives. And I want to bring three things out of the passage. That how thirsty are we for authority? Jesus is the one who speaks with authority in this passage. How thirsty are we for authority? How thirsty are we for understanding? Because the people don't understand some of what Jesus is saying. So how thirsty are we for understanding? And on this day of Pentecost, how thirsty are we for the Holy Spirit, for the living waters that Jesus brings? So that being said, let me give you a little bit more background. I said that this is the Feast of Tabernacles. Just want to tell you about one of the ceremonies that happened each day, a water ceremony that happened during the Feast of Tabernacles. Each day, a procession of priests would leave the temple and descend to the south part of the city. And there they would fill up a jug of water, not from the Peckham spring, but from the Gihon spring. And then they would carry it back up towards the temple. And there would be people there carrying branches, symbolizing this is the harvest coming in. And when they got into the temple, they would ascend up to the altar and they would pour the jug of water out onto the altar. And there were a couple of things that were being symbolized this by this. First of all, it would have been a long, dry summer. And they needed water. The rains were due to come around this time. So by pouring the water out, they were saying to God, God, please provide the water that we need. But remembering as well back into their past when they had been short of water and the people had complained to Moses. And Moses hit a rock with his staff and out of that staff came water. God had provided water for them in the past. And so in this ceremony, they were placing their trust and calling on God, as you have provided for us in the past, so provide for us again into the future. But there was a spiritual symbolism as well, because people like Zechariah and Ezekiel had visions of blessings that would come in rivers from the temple. And so it's likely that Jesus was referring to this in these words of him saying about being filled with living water. So we bear that in mind, and I'll return to that a little bit later on. But I want to ask the question then, first of all, how thirsty are we for authority? I wonder if any of you recognise the picture of this lady. She was she hit prominence in 2021 for a short period of time as an online council meeting hit the headlines because it descended into chaos. And this is a lady called Jenny Weaver. And if you remember of it, there was this famous line where one of the councillors, as she was trying to remove him from the Zoom meeting, was saying, "You have no authority here, Jackie Weaver." Does anyone remember that story? Yes, some of you do. As I say, it was, if you ever watched the meeting, it was an awful example of a meeting, and she was trying to keep control of it. "You have no authority here, Jenny Weaver." That was in Hanforth Parish Council. Throughout this passage, there is the question about who Jesus is. And does he have authority? The reading starts with this. "At this point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask, 'Isn't this the man they're trying to kill? Here he is speaking publicly, and they're not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Messiah?'" So they're asking the question, who is Jesus? Are the authorities making a decision that actually he really is the Messiah? "Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, 'Yes, you know me and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own authority, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him and he sent me.'" I mean, just imagine you were hearing these words for the first time. Let's put it into this context. Imagine I came to you today and said, "I know God, but you don't." How would you feel about that? I wonder if you'd be rushing to invite me back again after that, Alex. Maybe not. You see, these are quite shocking words. Shocking words, except they are true for Jesus to be able to say, because he knows the Father. And they're asking the question, who is this man? Are we listening to our human authorities? There was this question about, have they concluded that Jesus is really the Messiah? They're listening to the human authorities. Or are they going to listen to Jesus as the true authority, not coming in his own strength, but because the Father has sent him? Whose authority are they thirsty for in their lives? For the authority of Jesus? Or are they just going to be listening to the religious authorities? The reason they should listen to Jesus is because he is the one sent by God. He is God. He's the one they should be listening to. He's the one who they should say is the authority in their life. I don't know what it's like for you, but I make that prayer that Jesus is my authority in all that I do. But if I'm completely honest with you, there are times when I try to wrestle that authority back so that's what I say goes. And sometimes it can be quite difficult for me to work out, who am I following here? Am I following my will or Jesus's will? Maybe you struggle with that sometimes as well. Maybe it's a struggle in church life. Are we following the will of Jesus for our church, or are we expressing our own preferences? How do we work out which is which? Sometimes that can be really challenging. Very often it can be very challenging. But it starts with us saying, Lord, I want to lay down the authority that I have over my life to make my decisions. Say, I want to go your way and for you to be the authority. It's a church that says, Lord, we don't want to do just what we want. We want to do what you want. Help us to lay down our preferences in order that we might follow your ways. How willing are you and I to do that? How thirsty are we for his authority rather than choosing the way we want to go? Now, sometimes, of course, those two coincide. God is very good and generous to us. And sometimes the way he wants us to go is the way we want to go as well. But are we willing to make that journey of trying to say, we want your will rather than ours to carry? Who has authority in our lives? How thirsty are we for his authority and his way? Second thing I want to talk about is understanding. How thirsty are we for understanding? There was a story a couple of years ago about an 81-year-old pensioner who decided to set off from Newcastle to make a pilgrimage to Rome. Except he put R-O-M into his sat-nav rather than R-O-M-E. And he ended up at Rom in Germany, which is about 900 miles away. A little map for you to see there. The blue line shows where he ended up. The red line, where he intended to go. About 900 miles difference. When he got out from the car when he reached Rom, he was perhaps looking to see if there were any familiar landmarks around that he was expecting to see in Rome. Unfortunately, he didn't put the handbrake onto his car, and the car rolled back and knocked down the sign saying that it arrived in Rome. He was way off course from what he intended and where he intended to be. And actually, as we look at this, passage, the people are way off in their understanding. Jesus said this in verse 33. I'm with you for only a short time, and then I'm going to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. So they tried to work out, what does Jesus mean by this? The Jews said to one another, where does this man intend to go that we cannot find him? Will he go where our people live scattered amongst the Greeks? And will he teach the Greeks? What does he mean when he said, you will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come? They really didn't get it. They were way off in their understanding. They thought when Jesus said about going away, they didn't think about crucifixion. They thought about him going to Greece. It's not the first misunderstanding. Back in verse 27, we heard this when they're talking about the Messiah and could Jesus be the Messiah. But we know where this man is from. When the Messiah comes, no one will know where he is from. There's a misunderstanding there, because actually, a little bit later on, we're told that there was an expectation the Messiah would come from Bethlehem. Now, they didn't think Jesus was from Bethlehem. They didn't realise at the time. They thought he was from Nazareth. But a little bit later on in the passage as well, verse 41, it says this. How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not Scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived? And the people were divided. See, they didn't understand. They didn't understand what Jesus was doing. They didn't understand all of what Scripture was saying, because some said, well, we won't know where he will come from. And some say, well, we know he will come from Bethlehem, from the tribe of David. But there was confusion. There was misunderstanding. And maybe we need to recognise that actually, however much we like to feel we understand things, and we're correct and we get it right, as we see the complete misunderstanding of the religious authorities who didn't recognise who Jesus was, as the people who are saying, who is this man? We don't really get it. We don't get what he's saying. Maybe we don't always understand everything. How thirsty are we to understand more? You see, I think it's important that we recognise we don't have all the right answers, because when we recognise that, we start listening to others more carefully who might have a different idea to what we have. And together, we begin to build on our understanding. As we recognise we may not have all of the answers, we go back to the Bible and look more carefully at it and say, Lord, open it up that we might understand more. As we recognise we don't understand everything, we come to God in prayer and say, Lord, please help me to understand what I don't yet know, but that you need to reveal to me. How thirsty are we for understanding? How thirsty are we? Because all of this brings us back to those verses. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. You see, it's as if we're hungry for, or as we're thirsty for understanding. As we are thirsty for his authority in our lives, we allow ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How thirsty on this day of Pentecost are we for the Holy Spirit? Let me show you this picture. This is a picture from Spain, from the Segovia Aqueduct. Spanish philosopher Unamuno told a story about this because it was built around the year 100-110 AD, somewhere in that period. And he said this: for 1800 years, water was carried into that town in Spain. But then a generation came up that said, this looks such a magnificent place, we want to preserve it. So what we'll do is we will build pipes that take the water into the city, and we'll give the aqueduct a rest so that it's preserved for future generations. As the water stopped running across it, the heat of the sun started to crack the cement. You see, it needed water running through it in order to survive. And actually, within our Christian life, we need the Holy Spirit running through us in order for us to live as Christians. There's something you probably won't be aware of this, but this is if you go to some of the commentaries, you discover the interesting debates that go on around these verses. This is the NIV translation. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. In the Greek, there is no there's no punctuation. So people are working out, where should the punctuation go? There's another interpretation of this verse, these verses, that goes like this. If anyone thirsts, let them come to me. And if they believe, let them drink. As the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from his belly. And there's the contrast here in the top one. The living water is coming in us. In the bottom translation, the living water is flowing from Jesus. Now, if you ask me what the better translation is, I would probably say, I can change my mind on these kind of things, but today I would probably say the bottom one is the better translation. And it takes us back to that ceremony. Do you remember the ceremony I told you about when they were pouring water out onto the altar? The living water. And what Jesus was saying is now he's likening himself to being the new temple. You know, before you came to the temple and you were expecting great blessings to run out in rivers from this temple. But let me tell you, the great blessings for the nation are going to be running out from me as I sacrifice myself for all of you. But of course, what Jesus also teaches us is that he has to go away, he has to die in order that the Holy Spirit will come. And as the Holy Spirit comes, rivers of living water flow from us, which takes us back to the top translation. You see, they both tell us important truths about what's going on. If you ask me which was the most accurate, I'd go for the bottom one. But it doesn't matter at the end of the day on this one, because they're both telling us important truths. One, blessings flow from what Jesus did for us. And as the Holy Spirit comes to us, blessings, living water, will flow through us. And it will bring us life. How thirsty are you and I for the Holy Spirit? How does that show? Well, we're here today, so it's showing something of that. We'll come around the communion table. We will be inviting Christ into our hearts again. Or maybe for somebody here the first time, the opportunity to invite Jesus into our heart. And as we do so, we're saying we're thirsty. Thirsty and hungry for more of you in our lives. hungry and thirsty for your authority, in that we want to go his way, not our way. Hungry and thirsty because, as well as his authority, we want more understanding of who he is. Hungry and thirsty because we know that to have the life in all its fullness that Jesus came to bring, we need the Holy Spirit flowing through us, refreshing us day by day. How thirsty are you today? Thirsty for what he offers. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink, says Jesus. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. May God bless you and me with his living water flowing through us today as we walk with him today and in the week ahead.